Appreciate that. Very well done. Revelation chapter 3 in your Bible this morning, one verse for our text after I read, and we have prayer that Brother Stephen Benita will sing one more song for us, and we'll jump right into the message today. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. A very, very familiar verse. A lot of times used in the process of trying to share the gospel with somebody. I have no problem with that. However, I want to bring it to us this morning as it is in its context. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And I'll read verse number 20. If you'll follow along, I'll read out loud. Revelation 3:20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll please bless our hearts today through the preaching of Your Word. The music has sure been good. All the music we heard in Sunday school, the special music a little while ago, the beautiful piano solo during the offering, and I know we'll hear more good music to come. But Lord, Your Word is preeminent. In fact, You said in Your Word that You magnified Your Word above all Your name. And I pray that You'll take Your Word today and use it in our hearts, please. And we'll thank You for it. We love You, God. Help us to love You more. I believe that was part of the medley of songs that was just played. I love You, Lord. Help us to love You more. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, Brother Steve.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar landmarks of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other way to tell you but to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning. His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
That's a good song. Thank you, Benita. That was a blessing and so, so true. I want to ask this question for the title of the message this morning. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? I guess if I had a 42nd anniversary of Faith Baptist Church message, this would be it. Where is Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your goodness. As the dear sister just sang, yes, there have been more gains than losses, more joys than hurts, and You have been good. And how we rejoice in Your blessings. And Lord, when I think about it individually, I think about them on a family basis, I think about them, Lord, on a ministry basis and church basis here at our church for these 42 years now. I thank You for the privilege of being here as pastor for part of it. Pray that you'll please bless our time in your book this morning. We ask it in Christ's name and amen. Imagine, if you can, Bill Gates standing outside the headquarters of Microsoft, knocking on the door of the building, seeking a way in. Imagine, if you could, Donald Trump standing outside on the doorstep of the Trump Tower there in New York City, right on the southeast corner of Central Park, ringing the doorbell, trying to gain entrance. Imagine, if you can, President Obama standing outside the White House, knocking on the door, maybe peering through a glass, trying to get somebody's attention so he can get in. Imagine Jerry Reinsdorf standing outside of U.S. Cellular Field, rattling the gate that keeps people out, trying to get somebody's attention so that he can get in. Now, those scenarios are very difficult to imagine. Bill Gates is the co-founder of Microsoft. Donald Trump is the developer, was the developer of the Trump Towers. President Obama lives at the White House. Jerry Reinsdorf owns the Chicago White Sox, who play at U.S. Cellular Field. So it's very difficult to imagine any of that ever taking place. Now, it is ludicrous to think that any one of those men would ever have the slightest problem gaining entrance into those particular buildings. Yet more ludicrous and more sad and more unbelievable is the picture described for us in Revelation 3:20. It's unbelievable. You see, the situations that I mentioned just a moment ago are fictional. Those are unreal, and even though they involve men who are well known, they are only men, and their empires and their businesses and their money will not last forever. But the picture in Revelation 3:20 is real. It's not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And it's talking about a real person, Jesus Christ, and a real church. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, God the Son of God, and the church being the assembly of born-again believers that met at Laodicea. And Jesus is standing outside of the door of this church, knocking and seeking an entrance to come in. Can you imagine seeing Bill Gates, if you're walking down the road, one of you boys, seeing Bill Gates outside the Microsoft headquarters and knocking on the door? And the boy might say, "Mister, you trying to get in? Who are you?" "Well, my name is Bill Gates, and I co-founded this company with Paul Allen. And it was partly my idea, and I own the business that is headquartered here." Wouldn't somebody be tempted to say to Bill Gates, "What are you knocking for? What are you knocking for?" Imagine Jerry Reinsdorf, you're walking down by U.S. Cellular Field, and you see him out there shaking that gate that keeps people from walking in there. You walk by and you recognize him and you say, Mr. Reinsdorf, what are you knocking for? What are you trying to do? You own this team. Why do you need somebody to let you in?" And I think in the same way, we could ask the question, what in the world is Jesus doing standing outside this church, knocking on the door, seeking entrance? Now look, I know this verse is used often when it comes to trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is standing at the door of your heart knocking, and He wants to come in and be your Savior. And the application can be made. But here in this context, it's not about salvation. It's about Jesus Christ trying to gain entrance into a church. That's what it's about. Now you imagine that, if you will. Jesus, why are you knocking on the door? You are the foundation of this church. You are the head of this church. You are the chief cornerstone of this church. You are the owner. You own this church. You purchased this church. You died for this church. Your promise perpetuates this church. Your Spirit empowers this church. Your prayers protect this church. Your Word builds this church. What are you doing on the outside? What are you doing outside knocking on the door of this church? You see, folks, this is a very real event. He wrote to the Colossians, and he said, "When this letter, this epistle, is read among you," watch it now, "cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." So Paul sent the church at Colossae a letter, and he said, "Read it in your church, and then make sure that you read it over in Laodicea." And he said, I sent the Laodicea a letter too. So after they get their letter, make sure that you read their letter in the church at Colossae. We're talking about a real church here. A real place. You say, how do you know that Jesus wrote this letter? Well, look at verse number 14. These things saith the Amen. That's a capital A in my Bible. Is that a capital A in your Bible? The Amen. That's a name for Jesus. The faithful and true witness. That's another name for Jesus. You'd find that out in Revelation chapter 1. And the beginning of the creation of God. That's another description of Jesus Christ. This is a real church, and this is the real Son of God standing outside the door of the church, if you will, knocking on the door, seeking entrance. At some point in this church's history, Jesus Christ was found on the outside, knocking on the door, seeking entrance. What are you doing, Jesus? What are you doing out here? And I certainly do not want to put words in the mouth of Jesus Christ, but from Scripture, I believe we can hear Him answer like this morning to the question, Jesus, what are you doing out here knocking on the door? Number one, I can hear Jesus say, I was not here at the beginning. It didn't start out this way. It wasn't like this when this church started. I can prove that from Scripture, folks. Hold your finger here in Revelation chapter 3 and turn back to Revelation chapter 1 and look beginning at verse number 10. John has been exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and one of the first things that happens is he has a visitation from God, and then God's going to give him the book of Revelation. But look, if you will, at verse number 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. By the way, it's still a good thing to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's Jesus. What thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Who do you think that is, folks? That's Jesus Christ. That's who that is. There's nobody else but Jesus. And John said, man, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard a voice speaking, and I turned to see, and here was this, the Son of Man, standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And he said, Brother Angel, what are those seven golden candlesticks? Well, look down at verse number 20. The writer said, John says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Do you understand that? The seven candlesticks were the seven churches. Where was Jesus standing? He was standing in the middle of the seven churches, in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. You see, John saw Jesus standing in the midst, in the very middle. Jesus was in the bullseye of the target. He was the very center of the church. He was the heart of the church. And by the way, let me say, that's exactly how a church gets started. The church may not have a building. The church may not have pews. The church may not have a sound system. The church may not have office equipment. But there is a person there. And His name is Jesus. Be it in a rented motel conference room, a simple storefront space in a strip mall, be it under a tree in a remote location in the jungle, be it in the basement of an office complex, be it under a tent, if Jesus is in the midst, if Jesus is in the middle, a church can be started. His gospel is preached. If His message is proclaimed, if His name is lifted up, if His word is exalted, if people get under conviction of their sin and repent and trust Jesus by faith, they are born into God's family. They are indwelt by God's Spirit. They are headed to heaven. Their life is different, and it's all because of Jesus. It doesn't matter if they had to sit on a hard metal chair, a plastic chair, or in some case, a wooden bench. It doesn't matter if the bathroom only has one stall and a little sink and somebody has to stand guard outside to make sure that nobody enters while somebody's using it. It doesn't matter if the music is from a CD played on a boombox. It doesn't matter if the pulpit is only a little music lectern. It doesn't matter if the songbooks that are used are donated by another church. None of that matters, friend, because Jesus is in the middle. It's not what the church has. It's who is in the middle of the place. That makes all the difference in the world. It's not what the church has. It's who is in the middle. And as I pass by the street corner where Jesus is standing on the outside of the church of the Laodiceans, knocking on the door and seeking entrance, and say to Jesus, "What are you doing out here? Why are you knocking on this door?" I can hear Him say this morning, "It didn't start out like this. It didn't start out like this." And then I can hear Him say quickly, number two, "I really enjoyed those early years. I really enjoyed those early years." So how do you know He would say something like that, Brother Terry? Because look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. Look at what He wrote to the church at Ephesus here in chapter 2, verse number 4. He said to them, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You see, I can hear Jesus say this morning, this church started out like the church at Ephesus, where they served me because they loved me. I was in the middle of the church, and all of the motivation was love for me. Love for Jesus Christ. The preacher didn't preach a message so that somebody would pat him on the back and say, "Man, that was really good." He didn't even preach a message to put the people in the pew. He preached because he loved Jesus. And the singers didn't sing to impress with musical knowledge or ability. They sang with a tear in their eye because they loved Jesus. And the teachers didn't teach to entertain or gain a following. They taught because they loved Jesus. And the ushers and the musicians and the helpers, they all did what they did because they loved Jesus. In fact, the truth of the matter is, the reason that people came to that place at the beginning was because the people there loved Jesus. The teenagers didn't come because there were activities, and the parents didn't come because they liked the music, and the people didn't come because the preacher was funny. They all came because they just loved Jesus. And people who love Jesus go to church, because that's where He should be standing, in the midst. Let me say to us folks this morning here at Faith Baptist Church that Jesus is not impressed with fanciness. Jesus is not impressed with beauty. He's not impressed with ornateness and ritual and pomp and activity that seems religious. But He is impressed, and He is blessed by true service from the heart, a heart that is moved by love for Him. And let me say this morning, He deserves such service. And I hope we're here because we love Him this morning. And I hope that I'm preaching because I love Him this morning. And I hope the choir sang because they love Jesus this morning. And I hope the Epley sang because they love Jesus this morning. And I hope you came today not to get a barbecued pork burger, but I hope you came to church because you love Jesus this morning. Because that's how it was in the early years at Laodicea. Wait a minute, aren't you Jesus? Wait a minute, aren't you the Son of God? Yes, I am. Why are you outside the church? Why are you knocking on the door? Well, it didn't start out like this. And I sure did love, and I really enjoyed those early years, I could hear Jesus say. And you know what I could hear Him say this morning, number three? I would love to get back to where I was. I'd love to get back to where I was. Look at chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Look at what He says to this church at Laodicea here. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know what Jesus says? I would love to get back to where I was. He says to us, yes, this church there at Laodicea, they have suffered some chastening, but it is because I love them and I am knocking on the door because I want back in. If I didn't love them, if I didn't want to be with them, if I didn't enjoy their fellowship, I would just slowly walk away and not bother them anymore. And eventually, if nobody hears me knocking, and if nobody opens the door, and if nobody wants me back in, I'll just slip away. And little by little, the church will die. Because you see, not only am I the foundation, not only am I the head, not only am I the chief cornerstone, not only am I the owner, not only am I the purchaser, not only am I the protector, not only am I the provider, not only am I the power, not only am I the perpetuator, not only am I the builder, I am the reason they exist. And without me, they're nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine buildings like we enjoy today? And music like we enjoy today. And assembly of people like we enjoy today. And missionaries like we support today. And all of it meaning nothing. Because He's not right here in the middle. He's outside. Hey. Look, I know the pews are a lot nicer than they were years and years ago. But can I get back in? Hey, I know the music program has progressed quite a bit over these last several years, but boy, that's wonderful, but can I come back in? I know the choir is much fuller than it used to be. Boy, there's some, but can I get back in? I know the missionary boards out there lined the walls more now than they ever have, but I sure would like to get back in. Hey, He's the reason. We exist. And without Him, we are nothing. So I want to ask this morning, Faith Baptist Church, after 42 years as Faith Baptist Church of Bourbonnais, I have this question for you. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Is He still the reason we sing? Is He still the reason we witness? Is He still the reason we preach? Is He still the reason we teach? Is He still the reason we worship? Is He still the reason we pray? Is He still the reason we fellowship? Is He still the reason we assemble? Is He still the reason we give money to support missionaries? Is He still the reason we come here and spend hours and hours and hours of our life in unbelievable amounts of activity? Is He still the reason for it all? Where is He? Faith Baptist Church. I think I can say this morning, I don't believe He's outside knocking to get in. I don't think He is. But I want you to understand something, church. That what happened to Laodicea can happen here as quickly and as really as it happened to Laodicea. If you don't believe that, just get in your car and take a little journey. You don't have to go to Asia Minor to find places that are now museums that used to be hotbeds of Christianity and old-time religion, but somehow Jesus got booted for something else or somebody else. And He knocked until He got tired of knocking, and then He finally just walked away. They're all over the landscape this morning. Churches that were in existence when I got saved 36 years ago gone. In And it's not just because, oh, they ran out of money or because there's a recession. I'll promise you, friend, the number one reason that they're gone is because somehow, some way, he ended up on the outside instead of right side of it, right dead center in the middle. Where is Jesus this morning? Faith Baptist Church. Hopefully he's still the reason we do everything we do in the name of Christianity. And I will close by saying this, or asking, where is Jesus in relation to your heart? I'm not against using this verse for soul winning. And Jesus does stand at the door of hearts and knock. I remember when he knocked, Mrs. Epley gave her testimony. Brother Steve was saved at age 15. I remember when Jesus knocked on the door of my heart 36 years ago and wanted to come in. And I'm so thankful that by His grace I was able to open that door and receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Where is Jesus in relation to your heart this morning and church after 42 years of serving Him? Where is Jesus? I don't think I hear Him knocking. I hope that means He's still in the middle. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for listening, for hearing us and helping us. And I trust, oh Holy Spirit, that You'll take the stumbling, bumbling words this morning, shorter message than usual, and I pray that You'll drive it home to our hearts. I pray that Faith Baptist Church will have many years left with Jesus right in the center of all that we do. I pray that, Lord Jesus, You won't end up standing on the outside knocking. That just wouldn't be right. And it sure wouldn't be good. Help us to keep You preeminent in all that we do and in our own hearts. And if there's any here this morning not born into Your family, void of the presence of Christ in their life, I pray that You'll help them to open the door today and let Jesus in.